Welcome back in, hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend John Glennon from SI.com and NHL.com as well. Johnny, what's going on? Long time no talk.
That's right. It's been hours, Robbie. How are you guys?
We're doing wonderful. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. So, John, let's start on the Titans front. We'll get to the Preds as they take on Colorado coming up here in just a few minutes. But just your thoughts on the A.J. Brown situation. How do you think it got to this point for the Titans, and what did you make of their decision to trade A.J. Brown, and where do they go from here offensively in your mind?
Well, you know, initially, certainly, I thought it was a stunning move. You know, when they announced the trade, I had trouble believing it, because obviously what A.J. Brown has meant to the team and the offense, and, you know, what a promising future he has. But the more you hear and the more information you gathered, you know, I think the Titans are in kind of a predicament, because at some point after the season, I think A.J. Brown clearly decided he wanted out. You know, whether that was right after the season, I don't know. More likely, it came about, you know, when the whole wide receiver market turned upside down. Everybody was getting paid, you know, and A.J. Brown, you know, as best we can tell, wanted his money, and he wanted it now. And if he wasn't getting it, and as much as he thought he would, hey, it was time to move on, you know, and hopefully play with his buddy Jalen Hurts again. So in that light, you know, and given what we understand to be A.J. Brown's asking price from the Titans, which was even higher than the contract that he received from the Eagles, you know, I think John Robinson, you know, was accurate in saying it was just too much of a gap to bridge. And so he said, all right, let's make the most of it. Let's get some draft capital out of this. You know, let's get another wide receiver who could potentially replace A.J. Brown. Hence, the deal was done, and the Titans actually, you know, wind up with some more draft picks than they had originally. But I think it was a tough position for the Titans because, you know, as I say, I think they would have done just about everything they could to bring A.J. Brown, but you can't completely overturn your payroll, you know, for one player after three seasons.
Yeah, it was a tough spot. So we know the deal. We know the deal he got. If you were in charge, John, and over time, let's just say hypothetically, you know, everybody, cooler heads prevail. Like right now, Debo's sitting there in San Fran. Who knows what's going to happen there? You know, he requested a trade. He's still there. We'll see what happens. But let's say you didn't do this. You went back to the drawing board. Everybody took a break. Come back to the table later. There'll probably be a holdout, all that. Would you give him the contract he got from Philadelphia if you were John Robinson?
You know, possibly. But you know, even that is steep. You know, when you look at the wide receiver market right now, I mean, what he got from Philadelphia kind of puts him about third in terms of average, you know, money per year at this point. You know, I think it's only below Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill. So he blew away a lot of the guys that were more accomplished and more experienced, you know, including, you know, Stephon Diggs and Mike Williams, or excuse me, Mike Thomas, you know, or no, I was right originally, Mike Williams. You know, a lot of guys that probably arguably should have been making more money than A.J. Brown should have. So, I don't know. And I think the point that you raised, too, is going to be very interesting also, because you look specifically at the Titans versus the 49ers, and they have chosen to handle this very differently. You know, two players, same draft year, two very accomplished young wide receivers requested to be traded. Titans said, all right, we can't make it work. Let's get what we can. And the 49ers have taken that opposite approach, saying, all right, the heck with this. We can't trade you. We're going to let things cool down and let things play out at that point. So it's going to be very interesting to me to see how things play out. Do the Titans, you know, get a reward for the draft capital that they secured, or do the 49ers wind up winning because they kind of chilled and said, we'll work this out over time, despite all the drama that is inevitably going to come with it. So it's going to be an interesting comparison there.
John Glennon on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, John, what did you think of the Titans draft, and what specifically did you think of them selecting Malik Willis in the third round?
Yeah, no, I think it's specific Willis. I think it was a good pick in the third round, you know, because you know, I think the fear a lot of Titans fans had, you know, was drafting one of these quarterbacks, whether it was Willis or one of the other four or five top guys in the first round, you know, and the book on them, you know, was kind of like they may be good enough to be starters, but they may not be, you know, it's not a lock. But so if you take one of those guys in the first round, you're kind of pushing all your chips into the center there and saying, this is my guy. But now you have taken a few guys. You've taken three guys in front of Malik Willis. You've already got some reward likely from this draft. You've got a year for Willis to kind of sit and learn and sort of polish his passing game as well. So I think it's a pretty good situation there. And you know, overall, as we talked about earlier, I think the Titans did a good job adding draft capital with that A.J. Brown move. You know, all those trades, either directly or indirectly, led to their first four picks. So, you know, they addressed their needs. Roger McCreary gives depth to the corner position. You know, with Petit Frere, you may have a right tackle right out of the gate. We'll see. You know, and some further depth. I think Chigo Kwanko also is a nice pick at tight end. They needed another player there. So, pretty solid group it appears at this point for the Titans.
Well, that's the big question I have. You mentioned Petit Frere. Got some fantastic names in this draft class, by the way, and I think we're all doing very well with them. how do you view – I can't figure out, because I know some people have looked at that pick and said, okay, so Dylan Radin's at left guard. I don't necessarily buy that. I don't see how you can draft that guy, given the evaluations of him, which are high ceiling, but raw and maybe not ready. So – how do you view this? Is it Radin's, Petit Frere at right tackle, and then Brewer against Jamarco Jones for left guard? Do you think Radin still toggles back and forth? Do they need to go get a veteran? Because to me, the offensive line either gets better, or I struggle to see how the offense gets better with A.J. Brown out of it.
Oh, I agree completely with you. You certainly look at the offense right now and the loss of A.J. Brown. To me, you know, so the Titans offense, despite adding Treylon Burks, another tight end, et cetera, I think the offense is certainly worse than before the draft weekend, before the A.J. Brown trade. But yes, specifically in regards to the offensive line, I kind of feel like they do need another veteran. You know, we'll see another wave of free agency here in the offseason. And I'm just not, you know, confident that they have all those starters spots field right now. I think Petit Frere, I agree with you. All the scouting reports say a lot of potential, you know, a big man, great attitude, you know, versatile, but maybe not ready right away. Maybe not a kind of a day one, you know, starter in the league. And I still think that's up in the air at left guard as well. You know, I'm not sure Brewer is the answer there. To me, he's a good reserve player. He's, you know, he's versatile and he battles and so forth. But I don't know if you want him in there for, you know, a full season. So to me, there are question marks still about the starters on you know, at both left guard and right tackle. And I still think at least one of those positions, maybe bringing in another vet, a guy who's capable of plugging right in and playing and letting some of the younger guys, you know, kind of season and learn behind him, is something the Titans will look at. You know, before training camp.
John Glennon on with us here on Robbie and Rexroad. So, John, you joined me yesterday on Preds Insiders, looking ahead to the series that begins tonight between the Predators and the Avalanche. What do you make of this matchup for the Predators? And as you start to kind of dissect what the matchups are going to look like on a line-by-line basis, do you think John Hines sticks with Granlund, Forsberg, and Duchesne as a line together tonight?
That's a good question. You know, overall in the matchup, you know, I think certainly you have to look at Colorado as an overwhelming favorite. You know, I think there are some reasons, you know, to kind of like the Preds' chances, but maybe one of the biggest, you know, was UC Saros. You know, a goalie certainly has the ability to kind of steal a series if he's playing at an elite level for virtually the entire series. And UC Saros is one of the goalies in the NHL that could do that, I think. Unfortunately, he's going to be out for at least the first two games, and I don't think anybody would be surprised if he winds up missing the entire series. So maybe some other, you know, X factors that kind of that you'd like to see the Preds take advantage of. They are that heavy, pounding, physical team that, you know, if a series gets extended, extended, you know, that will take its toll on the Avs. Maybe that results in some more turnovers. Maybe that results in a less confident Avs team, that kind of thing. And, you know, I think the power or the special teams battle is there to be taken for the Predators if they themselves can stay out of the box. Because right now, on the other side of things, the power play is working very well for the Preds. But you don't want to be in the box against the Colorado Avalanche and all those big guns over there, too. So, and maybe, you know, if I'm looking for one more thing in the Preds' favor, you know, there's the I think the Preds go in with a confidence, having beaten the Avs 3 out of 4 times this year. Whereas the Avs, there's a lot of pressure on this team. They finished first. They haven't had a ton of playoff success over the last few years, despite finishing very high. So if you get in there and you steal a game, one of these first two games, make the Avs start thinking a little bit. Maybe that you know plays into the Preds' favor. But yeah, and then to your other question. I would think so. That'd be my guess right offhand that they stay with Forsberg, Granlund, and Duchesne, you know, because it's been so productive. The only risk, of course, is that, you know, if one line gets shut down, and we see that sometimes in the playoffs because of the chess match and the focus on stopping one line, the Preds have to show that they're going to have some other players step up in that offensive support role, and maybe you're leaving yourself a little bit vulnerable if you go with those big three. You know, on the one line.
John, real fast, is Nashville sports media soft?
I don't feel like we're soft, you know, just because most of us aren't angry or screaming most of the time, you know, as we see perhaps in some other cities. I don't think that makes us soft. So that's my stand on that.
Good. You made Joe Rexroad feel a lot better about himself.
I mean, Kaharski's soft, but that's a separate thing.
Oh, sure. He's pudding, for goodness sake. But no. I'm just kidding. Yeah, you know, again, I always go back to saying the job of the media is to obtain information to pass on to readers or listeners, however you want to, or viewers, however it is. And just because, you know, you don't get angry and scream and shout, that doesn't mean that you're soft. You're doing the best job you can at getting information, and that's to me, that's what our role is. And oftentimes when you're a screamer or a yeller, you're not getting the kind of information that you can pass on to the people that want that. So you
ripping Kaharski right now.
Everybody has their own different style. It's, you know, he's been successful with his style for many years, so to each their own.
John Glennon from SI.com, NHL.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. John, great stuff as always. Appreciate you joining us this morning.
Okay, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, John Glennon, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, including one thought from Heidi from Dixon on the text line that I'm very excited to get Joe's thoughts on coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. There's a new way to hear us on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Check us out on 106.3 from downtown Nashville to Spring Hill on I-65 and to Murfreesboro on I-24. You now have two choices to hear our great sports programming and the Nashville Predators. Check us out on 106.3 now and save it as a preset. We had a texter earlier from Nolensville and joining us very much on 106.3. So shout out to Nolensville. Shout out to 106.3. Check it out.
Shout out to Nolensville. Nolensville football. Friday is for knights. Got that t-shirt.
Ooh, very nice. I like that. So there's a text from Heidi from Dixon that I'm interested to get your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I got a texter going back to the Tannehill conversation. Maybe drafting Malik Willis will have the opposite effect. Ryan might be licking his lips because being paid $38 million for a backup sounds tempting. This is coming from Heidi from Dixon on the text line. So we talked about earlier, maybe, you know, maybe Tannehill's, he's off the boat. He's ready to do some work, ready to get in there and start zipping passes around now that Willis is the backup quarterback and looking to take his job next year. And Heidi's like, you know what? Maybe he's just giving it over to Malik Willis at this point. And say, yeah, I'll take my money to be a backup this year. Thank you very much.
He's like, hey, let's go deeper into the ocean. Throw me another line. Throw me another Celsius. Maybe put a little vodka in that Celsius. And by the way, I'm putting my phone on airplane mode, so if the new rookies try to text me, I won't see it.
Oh, man.
Love you, Heidi. Love you, Heidi. On another topic, a couple, I thought, interesting comments real quick. One is, I've heard this. This is kind of an interesting thing, okay? Ben says on the text line, the only reason people think media here is weak is because you all are supposed to portray the excitement and outrage of the fans, and the fans here don't have as much outrage. It's not your fault. You are our voice. We just aren't as loud as some other places. So are Nashville sports fans soft? I've heard this. I suppose, like, again, if we're going to compare it to Philly, you're not going to boo, like, every mistake instantly on the field or on the court or on the ice. I do remember, and then back into the game, after giving up four sacks, it's 2-1. And, you know, the Nashville fans, the Titans fans that day, were none too happy with him or their team. So I don't know. I don't know if I buy that.
I can't wait for a repeat performance when Tannehill throws his first pick. It's just going to be amazing.
So another one real quick from Dennis. I've always felt the Nashville sports media is soft narrative. It was driven by certain Nashville sports media members so they can pound their chest and say, I'm the only one tough enough to ask the hard questions, which I'm assuming has to be a reference to Kaharsky. So I text back, so Kaharsky. And Dennis threw a little gif of maybe. You know, the funny thing about that is, and sometimes Paul does have this whole, like, I'm the tough guy, you know. The funny thing about that is, like, Glennon, who never is confrontational or anything like that, he's pissed off Vrabel probably more than everybody.
I was about to say, Glennon's always the one that gets it from Vrabel.
Yeah, Vrabel's always like, man, and then walks out when Glennon asks, you know, like, an obvious question. So, yeah, you just got to be careful. You don't want to be performative, you know. It's like there's nothing wrong with, I mean, it's great, you know, asking questions, you get into a little back and forth or whatever, that's fine, but you just don't want to be performative.
John the Mailman saying Nashville fans need to start booing Santa Claus. You can fit in there with Philly.
Exactly. I mean, look, if you're going to compare yourself as fans to some of those places, then fine. But I don't think, like, the fans here, but I've also heard the whole thing, like, well, the Preds fans in particular are soft on the Preds, and they're not as tough on the Preds as the Titan fans are on the Titans. So, like, for the people who are fans of both, what does that mean? Do you like put on a smiley face when you go into Bridgestone, and then you're all, like, ready to rock when you go into Nissan? Like, what does that mean?
I don't know. That's a good question. Hey, maybe that's true. Maybe you're so happy to be there at Bridgestone. You're like, you know what? You guys, you do whatever you want to out there. I don't think that happens.
I've detected some pretty upset and ornery Preds fans in the last couple of years here, but yeah. I don't know. I don't know, man. We're all soft, I guess.
I don't know. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. LD from McMinnville says, I'm not sure I can see Titans fans pelting Santa Claus with batteries, AKA Philly. Forgot about that one.
Yeah. Now Philly is, it is a special kind of deal there. There is no doubt about that. So, I mean, like, in all seriousness, with A.J. Brown in Philly, to your point on social media, like, this would be a great time to just change your approach.
Yeah.
It would be a great time to just get out of that as much as you can.
Griffin on the text line says, as a big fan of all Tennessee sports, I'm always pissed off. LOL. This coming from Griffin on the text line.
Yeah.
Hey. Got a chance tonight in the playoffs to turn things around.
Got the Preds with a big one. If you're including the Grizzlies get their shot at game two. Very upset that's at the same time.
You're going to be upset. Going to some split screen action tonight?
We'll stream. See, another problem here is, like, my grandma stays up. Like, she stayed up till 1:30 watching the Tigers the other day. And then last night, I know she stayed up till, like, 1 a.m. watching the Rays A's game in front of, like, the lowest crowd ever in A's history, like 2,000 people.
Dozens of people were in attendance. Yeah.
So tonight she's got Tigers and Rays. So what am I going to do? Like, I can't rob my grandma of her baseball.
Have to go get a laptop for one, phone for the other.
Might have to. Yeah, might have to. Double streaming. So, but, you know, obviously focusing on the big Preds game. But then, you know, the Grizzlies, if you're including all of Tennessee sports, I mean, I don't know how many people are fans of like Titans, Preds, and Grizzlies, but for those of you who are, I mean, it's at least an exciting time tonight, right?
Yeah, I'd say so. Robert in Nashville says the lines at Nissan are worse than Bridgestone, so that's why Titans fans are more mad. The lines at Nissan Stadium, that is true.
Well, I will say, I mean, that's been, I mean, they've had issues trying to figure all that out. So that is a fair point. I mean, I think that they've figured some things out and they've gotten better. I think they got better last year, but that's a huge deal. It's like with Nashville SC, it seems like they kind of, you know, like they had a good system going the other day, but like ultimately, like, you know, parking, all that stuff. You know, I mean, fan experience is a big part of this too. And it's a big part of how you feel.
No question about it. We'll look ahead to game one tonight between the Predators and the Colorado Avalanche coming up next. Welcome your thoughts as well on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. It's going to be an interesting game tonight between the Preds and the Avalanche, and interested to see what happens on that front. Joe, I asked this to John just a few minutes ago. The Granlund, Forsberg, Duchesne, are you at all worried if they go with those two guys on the same line that maybe that could be counterproductive if Colorado, especially at home, controlling last change, really hems in on that line and tries to shut them down, which I'm sure they will try to do?
Yeah, it's, I mean, is it a situation where you are more prone to breaking them up on the road as opposed to at home because of that very reason? You know, do you think about it that way? I mean, to me, I would want them on a line together, 5-on-5, as much as possible. But there is something to be said, especially when you think about the alternatives or the possibilities with Johansson. You know, it's not very appealing right now till somebody of those candidates really steps up.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's one of those things where it's got to pick your poison there, because if it works and they score, then you're feeling good about those two being together, obviously. But if they get shut down, it's going to be difficult to see where the offense is coming from if you're the Predators, if those two guys aren't a big part of it. We'll take your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Attention men, have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Andrew joins me from Hillside Medical Clinic to tell us all about it. Andrew, what's going on?
Hello there, guys. If you're out there frustrated in the bedroom, and this is normal, probably not liking those pills, trips to the pharmacy, maybe all the side effects, Hillside Medical Clinic has helped so many men with a technology called acoustic wave therapy. I believe this is the future, guys. It uses pressure waves to repair the blood vessels. It's not a chemical. It's not a pill. It's not an injection. So that means we're treating the root cause, and there are no side effects.
So, Andrew, what kinds of clinical studies have been done on this technology?
It is extensive. This is no longer a theory. We have, over the past 8 years, accumulated about 60 clinical studies, major universities, hospitals. One of the biggest hospitals in America, in fact, studied this, tested it, and said it led to a clinical increase in blood flow. Exactly what a guy with erectile dysfunction needs.
And Andrew, you got a special offer if our listeners call in right now.
We really believe in delivering a lot of value. If you're struggling with ED, if you're ready to regain your love life, grab your phone, call us now. The exam, the assessment, the blood flow ultrasound, it's free. Plus the gift that produces results in the bedroom in minutes, that is worth the trip alone, guys. Call us now. This is all totally no charge.
That's right, guys. You can put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now at 615-576-5000. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to game one tonight between the Colorado Avalanche and the Nashville Predators in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Puck drop at 8:30, pregame at 7:30 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And Joe, this is going to be an interesting one tonight. Obviously, UC Saros going to miss the first two games. John Hines confirming that yesterday, and then they'll see after that. So, you know, we talked about the high ankle sprain that he's reported to have been dealing with coming from Alex Doherty of A to Z Sports. It's hard to imagine him being fully healthy at any point in this series, but we know for games one and two, he's not going to be able to go. So, you know, there was no committal of an answer yesterday from John Hines, but my guess is it's probably going to be Dave Riddick tonight in net for the Predators as they take on Colorado. I would be surprised. I wouldn't be shocked, but I'd be surprised if it's Connor Ingram.
Yeah, I'd be maybe just short of shocked. I'd be highly surprised about that if it's Ingram. Now, had Ingram played really well Friday, then I may have been closer to 50-50. But, you know, honestly, unless Ingram was just outrageously good, I think it was probably trending toward Riddick getting the first start. Still think certainly that both goaltenders – I'm going to expect to see both of them before this series is over. I think that's a pretty fair expectation.
Interested to see what the lineup looks like tonight too. And we talked about, you know, Forsberg and Duchesne being together in the last segment. Dennis texting in says, the Predators used to have playoff Colin Wilson. What player do you think could add playoff to the front of their name this postseason? To me, like, it would have to be somebody that maybe comes out of nowhere a little bit, right? Like playoff Luke Kunin?
Playoff Luke Kunin, playoff Ellie Tolvanen. I mean, that's what you're looking for. One of those two. If one of those two has that name attached to, you know, as a attached to their name, then I like the Preds' chances more. I mean, you have to start with, we've talked about already, the big guns, yeah, being big guns. But you're going to need more than that. Yeah, I think you're going to need a lot of goals to win this series. You're going to need a lot of goals. You're going to need to score. And at least one of those two guys having a little, whoa, where'd this come from, would be a big deal. Duchesne, that was a little bit of him last year in the playoff series. You know, there were times where it was like, okay, that looks like a different guy than what we saw most of the regular season. Then he carried that over and built on it this year.
Well, and the other thing, and John brought this up too, but like for the, hey, they don't call penalties in the playoffs crowd, that has not been the way that things have gone so far. There are a ton of penalties yesterday in Toronto and Tampa Bay. And then you look back at the St. Louis, Minnesota game last night, and I'm trying to do some math in my head quickly. I think there's like 11 penalties for the Blues and like 12 for the Wild last night. So they're calling penalties right now. Now, I realize some of that was like misconducts and stuff, but I mean, roughing, slashing, cross-checking, roughing, high stick. I mean, there's penalties left and right that were called in the games yesterday.
Well, I'm still in that crowd, but I suppose you make fair points. I think for the most part, you've got some of the ticky-tack stuff that doesn't get called, but you've got some stats to back it up.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if you're the Predators, like, you've struggled with the penalties all year, so I it's hard for me to believe that they're just going to go in the playoffs now and they're not going to commit penalties, because we've seen them do it all year. But I do think part of what you could work to your favor, and going back to the physicality of this, is like the Predators, when they're on, not only are they physical, but they're pretty frustrating to play against, right? So yeah, it's the physicality. It's the kind of being that pest. I think Nick Cousins does that really well. And sometimes maybe he does it a little too well and takes it over the line. But if you could like goad Colorado into taking some penalties, like that would be ideal for your power play to get out there. Because I still think the Predators, like, they're probably going to get caught out of position a few times where you're going to have to hook and hold and do these things that, you know, a team like as fast and skilled as Colorado is, it's probably going to happen to you a few times in this series. But if you can take it the other way and draw some penalties and put your power play out there, that's what I'm trying to do if I'm the Predators.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, it's not like it's not just that they, you know, they're physical, they hit people, and they use it to create offense and to you know, to tire out the other team. The forecheck, when it, especially with the herd line, I mean, those guys are when this team was, well, beating Colorado and first in the division, well, first in the West for a minute, that was also the the peak to me of the herd line. I mean, Jeannot has had a steady, you know, production all year, but the herd line was so effective, so frustrating for teams back then. And as much as the big guns are important, I also look at that line in particular. You have to not just make an impact in the intangible ways. You got to make a tangible impact in this series too.
Yeah, no question about it. And, you know, we'll see how the defense corps responds to the challenge tonight too in that way. Like, number one, you know, Lozon has been out there and has been skating. Is he going to be a part of things tonight on that third pair? If not, are you rolling with Borbietsky and Benning? And, I mean, Joe, I read it off earlier, the final 2 weeks of the regular season, and keeping in mind that some of these are before UC Saros got hurt, it hasn't been great for the Predators defensively as of late. I mean, you gave up 8 to St. Louis, 6 to Tampa Bay, 5 to Minnesota, albeit in overtime. Same thing with Calgary. 4 to Colorado and Arizona, you gave up 5 as well. I mean, that's how you closed out the season, with the exception of the Calgary game on the 19th, which is the week before the last Calgary game. With the exception of that game, you gave up at least 4 goals in every single game the last 2 weeks to close out the regular season. That is not a winning formula against the Avalanche.
No. I mean, if you and I know you played them one time, but if you translate some of those issues, and I think especially of like the 8-minute stretch against St. Louis or whatever, you know, like Colorado's going to be pushing double digits. Okay. So you got, I mean, you got to tighten things up. You got to tighten up here.
Yeah, you do.
You got to do. Okay. And there's so much on the Preds to be not perfect, but to being careful and, you know, not having those killer turnovers, you know, in the D zone that have been part of this at times. You know, it's and then, by the way, you know, you also have you don't have your backstop. You don't have your guy who has saved you a ton, even with those numbers. I mean, UC Saros is a sense of security. If you want to be really optimistic, and I've heard this, and we've talked about this. Well, without Saros back there, you're going to be more careful. But, of course, you also have to play. You can't be so, you know, conservative and cautious that you don't attack them. I mean, it's an interesting balance, and they're just a team that can make you pay so easily for one mistake.
Joe, I'm still going through and trying to find somebody that's picked the Predators to win this series. And right now I'm going through NHL.com. There's not anybody so far. I mean, there's a lot of people that write for NHL.com, but I'm going down the list. Nobody so far has picked the Nashville Predators. So we only know of one, and that was apparently at the Athletic, and we don't know exactly who it was. We've got to figure out who this is.
Joe, was it you?
No, it really wasn't me. No, I mean, I picked Colorado in 5. That was my official pick, I swear. I'm on the case right now. Let's see if by the end of the show I can figure out who. Because, again, whoever it was, one, we're going to make fun of them. But two, we're going to – I mean, I think they should get at least a segment, if not more than that, if the Preds do win the series. I mean, I think people, they should get – you know?
For sure. I mean, I think people think I'm crazy for picking them to lose in 6. They're like, 6 games? Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about, Homer?
Exactly. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Preds. It is time for Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We got some tickets to give away for Game 4 of this series between the Preds and the Avalanche as well. So be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, to guess the goal scorer tonight for the Nashville Predators. If you get it right, you'll win some tickets to Game 4 coming up between the Predators and the Avalanche next Monday night. 615-737-1025. You can go yard all May long with $5 Dinger Tuesdays on FanDuel Sportsbook. This season, all customers will get $5 for every home run hit by both teams when you place a $25 to hit a home run wager on Tuesday MLB games. And the best part about Dinger Tuesdays is even if your bet loses, FanDuel will pay you $5 for every home run. The Yankees, to the chagrin of many, have been red hot as of late, and so have Anthony Rizzo and Aaron Judge. So give me one of those two guys for my pick, but you take it any way you want to take it. What are you waiting on? Just pick your home run hitter and turn big swings into big wins. There's no better place to bet America's pastime than on America's number one sportsbook. Head on over to FanDuel or download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code Rob. Once again, that promo code is Rob. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max bonus of $25. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it is that time of the day. Time for Preds to pick to click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Preds taking on the Colorado Avalanche tonight in game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And David from Nolensville, our guest today on our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And if David gets his pick right, he will win tickets coming up to game four between the Predators and the Colorado Avalanche next Monday night. David, thanks for calling us. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
Got to go with Forsberg.
So going with Philip Forsberg. David, appreciate you calling in.
All right, thanks.
So Philip Forsberg, the selection by David in Nolensville. So, by the way, Joe, the standings in the competition I should have read before we did that, but I'll do it now anyway. Listeners at 19, Joe at 19, Robbie at 17, Michelle at 14. So still tied at the top. Nobody got anything the other night in Arizona. Kind of hard to believe.
Pressure's on. This is it. Postseason hockey.
The pressure is on. So Forsberg off the board. Michelle Knezovic has the first selection today. Michelle, your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators.
Well, that is just amazing. I am going to pick Matt Duchene against his old team. They're booing him, but I don't care. He's still going to score. So give me Matt Duchene.
So Matt Duchene, the selection by Michelle. So Forsberg, Duchene off the board. I'm up next, and I'm kind of torn on this one because there's a couple different ways I could go. But, Joe, I'm going Johansson. I think playoff Ryan Johansson again shows up. He's been very good all regular season long, but he tends to step his game up in the playoffs. So give me 92. I will go Ryan Johansson tonight against the Avalanche. Forsberg, Duchene, Johansson off the board. Joe Rexroad, your pick to click.
All right, I know I joke about this, but I'm actually serious now. When did I pick first last time?
I don't know. I can go back through it, but I've got a rotation, Joe.
Joe, you're winning, so it's just.
I think you skipped me, man.
I think you did.
I think for real this time, my all year of faux complaining now in the postseason. I think you might have. I do want to recount. I just want to recount.
I'll go back and look. All right. I am 98% sure that I did not skip you.
Let's see. I'll go Yossi.
Okay. Going with the captain, Roman Yossi. I thought you may go off the wall here and go like Tolvanen, but we don't know if it's going to play or not.
Yeah, that's part of why I didn't. I'm not so sure.
Is that part of
the lineup?
Yes.
I mean, I guess I could have gone Matt Luff, you know, and just thrown caution to the wind. But, yes, it's time for Yossi. By the way, who's winning the Norris? Who's going to win?
I think it's going to be close. I'll give the slight edge to Yossi, but I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be a whole lot closer than a lot of Predator fans want to admit.
I agree. I think it's going to be very close. Like if you force me, like you must, you know, you got to put $100 on one or the other right now. Cause obviously, you know, the voting is like, there's nothing else that goes into the voting. I think I'd probably pick Yossi, but I would not feel super secure about it. You know, it's just one of the, like, how closely do people look at it? Some people do look very closely. Some people don't. It favors him that he just has more, ends up with more points than Makar, right? But I don't know. Right? I think the Preds finish and just not just the losing, but giving up massive amounts of goals left and right. Yeah, I mean, some of that stuff could hurt Yossi.
It could. Now, Colorado was losing a lot down the stretch too, but they've already won a lot of games, so they're probably be in good shape. Look, I think it's going to be close. I mean, every poll that was taken basically down the stretch, some had Makar in front, some had Yossi in front, but they were pretty darn close So I think it's going to be a close finish in the Norris Trophy race. It is kind of amazing that those two going head to head with each other in the first round of the playoffs, which, again, as you pointed out, has no bearing on the Norris Trophy vote. So something to keep in mind as the Predators take on tonight. I said this earlier, Joe, and maybe I am the homer pick here. I think the Preds win tonight. I think they win game one. I've got them winning game one. I've got them losing game two and then splitting here in Nashville before losing games five and six. So I picked the Avalanche to win the series in six games, but I think the Preds, I think they win tonight.
That's a good shot. I can warm up to that. I can warm up to that idea. The first game, there's the whole weight of not only are you supposed to rip through this series if you're the Avs, you're supposed to rip through four of them. You know, who is the odds-on favorite to win it right now?
I think it's them, but I'll double check on that.
Yeah, I know for us at the Athletic, they were picked by more than anybody. I picked them. I was one of those people who picked them. But there's a lot of – sometimes when sometimes it's good to get smacked in the face and then you kind of settle into a series and realize it's not going to be easy. I don't think the Avs are under some illusion that this is going to be easy. But still, they have the weight of the expectation. They have the weight of being the favorites. They have the weight of last year's failure on them. And – you know, they know, and then there's the psychology, which, again, the tangible part of this is terrible for the Preds, not having Saros. The psychology part of it, sometimes that does benefit the team that lost the player. So I could see that. I'm still picking the Avs to win 5-2, but I could see what you're saying. I think that you make a good point. And also, by the way, Vingan has tried to find out who from the Athletic, the one person, picked the Preds, and no one is owning up to it at this point.
Got to have it happen. Got to have this happen by the end of the show. By the way, the Avalanche are the outright Stanley Cup favorites on the FanDuel Sportsbook. So it's the Avalanche at one. Florida is at two. Calgary's at three. Carolina, Toronto, and then Tampa Bay. I would imagine, and there's a pretty sizable gap between Toronto and Tampa Bay. I would imagine those have been updated since Toronto has taken a 1-0 series lead on Tampa Bay. So honestly, at Tampa Bay Lightning plus 1,400 right now, might be some good value. Just throwing it out there.
Holy cow. I mean, so 5-0 last night. Toronto looked great, looked amazing. Everybody's gaga. I'm going to call a shot. Tampa Bay wins the next four games, and Toronto scores a total of 5 goals in those games. Okay?
I like that.
Write it down, Joe.
Well, I will say, I don't know if it's going to be holding them to 5 goals in the next few games, but there was a lot of, I feel like, dancing on the grave of the Tampa Bay Lightning last night, and I was like, hey, guys, it's one game. I understand Toronto looked really good last night, but it's one game. And honestly, how many times have we seen this movie before with the Maple Leafs in the playoffs? I'm not saying it can't be different this year, but as I was saying on Twitter yesterday, until I see it, especially against this team, against Tampa Bay, until I see them close out a series, I still won't believe it.
Exactly. I mean, it's not like they haven't had good games in the playoffs before. They haven't gotten like swept every single year. Like, you know, they have moments where you're like, oh, okay. And then, I mean, that Boston series a couple, you know, what, 3 years ago, I guess, right? Was it 3 or 2 years? Yeah, the Boston series was epic. Epic.
Yeah.
And they failed in the end. But, yeah, I don't trust them. And I do trust Tampa Bay. And I think a lot of people way overreacted last night, including our good friend Ryan Porth. Come on, Porth, you know better.
Yeah. There is one, I found one on ESPN.com. Dominic Moore has picked the Predators to win this series in 7 games.
I should have said that. Vingan texted me that, Dominic Moore. So we've got a name.
We know of two.
We got a name attached to the – wait, yeah, we know of two. We know they're – and one of them actually has a name attached to it.
Yes.
I mean, I'm just going to go to my Slack, the NHL Slack, and say, whoever of you picked the Preds, admit it right now.
Yeah. Own it. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just own it.
We want to celebrate you if you're right, make fun of you in the meantime.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We'll get his thoughts on A.J. Brown to the Eagles and all things NFL. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.